Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, State Secrets and Proper Remedies Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 23, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in General Dynamics Corporation versus United States. The question in this case was the following: what is the proper remedy when, in order to protect state secrets, a court dismisses a government contractor's facially valid affirmative defense to the government's allegations of contractual breach? In an opinion delivered by Justice Scalia for a unanimous court, the court held that the particular circumstances of this case, where the protection of state secrets precluded adjudication of the parties' claims and defenses, the appropriate remedy was to leave the parties in the position they were in on the day that they filed suit. To discuss the case, we have Marcia G. Madsen, who is a partner at Mayer Brown LLP. Mayer Brown filed an amicus brief in support of the petitioner. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Madsen.
Hello, my name is Marcia Madsen. I'm a partner at Mayer Brown LLP in Washington, and I'm going to be discussing the Supreme Court's May 23rd 2011 opinion in General Dynamics Corp. and Boeing Corp. v. United States. This was an important decision that had been long anticipated by government contractors. In this case, the Supreme Court held that the government cannot use the state secrets doctrine as both a sword and a shield. The court unanimously ruled in this case that when the government successfully invokes the state secrets privilege to bar adjudication of an affirmative defense that's been plausibly asserted by the contractor, and when the full litigation of that defense would inevitably lead to disclosure of state secrets, the proper remedy is to leave the parties in the position that they occupied, that is, with whatever funds and property they possessed before the breach of contract suit was initiated. This is a rather difficult and long-awaited result, but it's an unusual result, and I think one that has people thinking about it very carefully, because this case has been pending since January 1991. I should disclose here that Mayer Brown did file an amicus brief in this matter on behalf of the Constitution Project. Just to provide a little bit of history, in 1988, the Navy awarded General Dynamics and Boeing fixed-priced contracts, and the fixed-price aspect of these contracts is important. These contracts were to develop a stealth aircraft, so they were fixed-price development contracts. The usual approach in this kind of a situation would be to provide a cost reimbursement type contract. After unexpected difficulties arose in the design and manufacturing process, the government terminated these contracts for default in January 1991, and the government demanded the return of approximately $1.3 billion in progress payments that already had been made to the contractors. The contractors challenged the default termination, which is a termination for cause, under the Contract Disputes Act in the Court of Federal Claims. Among other things, the contractors asserted a superior knowledge defense to the default, and the contractors argued that no return of funds was appropriate because the government had failed to share information in its possession that would have affected the contractor's ability to design and manufacture the aircraft. General Dynamics also sought to have the termination for default converted to one for convenience, and thus sought additional payments of $1.2 billion from the government. The parties and the court initially sought to litigate the case, despite the classified nature of much of the evidence. But after classified information was accidentally disclosed during the discovery process, the government invoked the state secrets privilege and asserted that resolution of the superior knowledge defense could lead to further disclosure of highly classified information. Significantly, the court, the federal claims, then went ahead to adjudicate the government's claim of default without reaching the contractor's defense, and went ahead and ruled in the government's favor. On appeal, the Federal Circuit agreed with the trial court's finding that litigating the superior knowledge defense and the risks of disclosure would adversely affect national security, and the Federal Circuit concluded that the state secrets privilege thus precluded litigation of the contractor's defense. And the court held there that the government could nonetheless pursue its claim for return of progress payments, even though the contractor's primary defense had been rendered, as the Supreme Court said, non-justiciable. So the problem here with the Federal Circuit's opinion is that it was willing to rule in favor of the government, but not let the contractors put on their defense. The Supreme Court reversed the Federal Circuit's decision. The court accepted the contractor's basic argument that the government cannot pursue what is effectively a breach of contract claim against a party and then assert the state secrets privilege to prevent the party from presenting a prima facie valid defense to the claim. And in arriving at this conclusion, the Supreme Court drew on its common law authority to fashion contractual remedies in government contracting disputes, and it relied on two former cases, one of them very old, Totten v. United States, an 1876 case, and Tennant v. Doe, a 2005 case. Both of these cases addressed the enforceability in court of contracts between the government and alleged spies. In both of the cases, Totten and Tennant, the spies, or these are called covert espionage contracts, asserted that the government had breached secret espionage contracts, and the court held that the court simply lacked jurisdiction to hear the plaintiff's claims, with the result that left the parties, as the court stated, and I'm quoting here, where the court found them the day they filed suit, close quote. And the reason the Supreme Court took this position in these cases was because the resolution would lead to disclosure of secret material and would jeopardize national security. In the Boeing decision, the Supreme Court used the same reasoning and said that applies to government contracts that involve highly classified programs. And the court stated, and I'm quoting again, it is claims and defenses together that establish the justification or lack of justification for judicial relief. And when public policy precludes judicial intervention for the one, it should preclude judicial intervention for the other as well. End of quote. Perhaps a very common sense approach that should have been spotted at the lower court. The Supreme Court said that its decision was a narrow one because it was limited to government contracting disputes in which the contractor has a valid affirmative defense that can't be litigated because of the state secrets privilege. That may or may not be the case. The decision raises questions about how the government deals with its citizens that may have a bigger impact than the decision recognizes. Because of the government's need today for technology developed in the private sector to fight against not only traditional threats, but also terrorism and cyber attacks. As I think many who will be listening to this know, the volume of classified work that the government is performing has increased dramatically in recent years. And among other things, this decision makes it clear that contractors and the government have to be very vigilant about identifying performance issues that may implicate classified information and addressing those issues early. Unsophisticated companies with commercial technology that the government is depending on to fight new threats may not be sophisticated enough to recognize this point. And if those kinds of issues cannot be early identified and resolved, then the contractors are going to need to determine if they're really prepared to continue with performance, particularly in the context of fixed-price contracts, which is the case in the Boeing and General Dynamics case, and which puts the contractor at risk for any overruns. The Supreme Court observed in its opinion that these parties must have understood that the state secrets privilege would prevent courts from resolving many possible disputes under the contracts, and that both sides assume this risk. And as I mentioned a moment ago, many companies, especially commercial companies that may supply a piece of key technology to the government or work with the government to develop a particular application of their technology, simply wouldn't be knowledgeable enough to understand the risks that they were undertaking.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org /multimedia.